Would you consider yourself to be stubborn? Now, a lot of people would never think that. I mean, you know, when somebody asks you, you know, most of the time it's like, no, I'm not a stubborn person. But in truth and reality, a lot of us really are. And a lot of it depends on what's taking place and what's going on. Now, we can be stubborn, and we can even be stubborn to the point that after we realize that, you know, what we should be doing is in our best interest, sometimes we'll still push that bad position just because we can wind up being stubborn. Now, over the past several weeks, we have been talking about the Exodus in God's Word. We've been talking about how Moses had gone and approached Pharaoh as directed by God to do so with the message, you need to let my people go. Well, Pharaoh is being stubborn. You know, remember, last week we talked about the fact that actually the last couple weeks where Pharaoh said, "Who's God that I should, you know, should listen to him?" And his deal is, "I'm large and I'm in charge, and we're going to do it my way, regardless of what happens." So God is having to send Pharaoh some attention getters, as it were. So grab your Bible, come on back. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus, chapter 8, at Pharaoh and his encounter with the frogs because of his stubbornness. We'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day has gone well, and we're so glad that you're joining us for this Bible study today. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus, chapter 8. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn over to Exodus chapter 8, and we'll begin reading that particular scripture. Exodus chapter 8, and beginning with verse 1, reads as follows. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, onto your bed, onto the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. Verse 4, and the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and on all your servants. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the stream, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 9, and Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the rivers only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, from your people, and they shall remain in the river only. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart, and did not heed them as the Lord had said. Let us pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful again for this opportunity to be able to gather around your word. Lord, may our stubborn hearts learn from your word. Lord, help us to follow you wholeheartedly with all that we are. May we learn lessons today from your word that were relevant then, and they're still relevant to this very, very day. So, Lord, we just pray that you will bless and honor our time together. May you teach us. May you draw us close to you. As always, Father, we pray if there's one that knows you not, that today truly would be the day that there would be rejoicing in heaven because that person has given their life, their heart, and their soul over to you. Father, for your messenger for these moments, I pray that you would bless me beyond all measure, that that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we get into this particular point, Moses is persistent in pleading with Pharaoh. Remember, he is on a mission that God had given him to go to Pharaoh, to entreat Pharaoh to let God's people go. And the reason why was because they were slaves, they were in bondage, they were taskmasters to the Egyptians, they were the ones that were having to make the brick. They were slaves, really. And what was going on was God did not want that for his people. He wanted them to have freedom from bondage. That message is still true to you and I today. God still wants his children to be free from bondage, all different types of bondage, that they may be free to worship him in a manner that not only is pleasing to the Lord, but that is advantageous to us as well. So Moses had this message from God, and he kept faithfully declaring that particular message. And it was a very simple message. Let my people go that they may serve me. That's a key thing, that they may serve me, not just simply let my people go. But there was a reason that God wanted them to be free from that bondage. And the reason why was that they may serve him. Now, Pharaoh has been rejecting God's command time and time again. So now we get over to this point in the scriptures that are our text today. And what happens is we see the plague of the frogs. Now, once again, Pharaoh has ignored the warning of Moses. And so what he does is he tells Aaron to lift up his rod, and this particular plague begins. There were frogs everywhere in Egypt. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. You know, as we read through it, yet sometimes we just kind of get this superficial view of what we think it may have been like. But I want you to imagine that for just a minute. It talks about just how inundated Egypt was at that time with frogs when the Lord brought this plague about. It says they were in the houses. It says they were in the servants' houses. They were everywhere. They were in the yards. They were jumping across the furniture. It even said in the kneading bowls. There was no place that they could turn where the frogs were not going to be there. Can you imagine what that's like? Now, the frogs kind of creep some people out anyway, but I mean, could you imagine? You can't even go into your house. Everywhere you take a step, there's a frog there. Every time you try to sit down, they're just jumping all over the place. I can only imagine what that must have been like. So, you know, frogs are just covering Egypt at this point. And of course, this also speaks of sin and the results of sin in every area of life. There was no place that there were not frogs. And folks, sin does that in your life. Sin does that in my life. It just inundates everything that we are. And that's not what the Lord wants for us. There are lessons that we can learn from this encounter with the frogs. Now, if you go down and you look at verse 7, there's something, and let me give you a little bit of background on this in reference to the frogs. It was a real fitting plague to bring about for the Egyptians because the Egyptians actually worshiped frogs. There was a frog goddess. I mean, history will tell you that. There was a frog goddess. They even actually had taken embalmed frogs and placed them into the tombs of folks, important people, and even some of those that were less powerful, and they just just felt like, you know, that this would help out the dead to rest in peace or what have you. But the bottom line is that the Egyptians actually worshiped the frogs. And I kind of laugh and think about it this way. You know, I guess God figured, well, if you like the frogs that much, I'll just cram them down your throat. There'll be so many frogs, you won't ever want to see a frog ever again. Now, there was another interesting thing that took place. Now, I'm going to go back to verse 7. I'm going to take you back to, this is Exodus chapter 8, verse 7. And it says that when Aaron held up his rod, you know, God caused frogs to cover everything, come out of the water, into the houses, into the kneading bowls, into the servants' houses, everywhere. But I want you to note something that happened in verse 7. Verse 7 tells us this. It says, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt." Now, there's a couple of things right there. Number one, so far, Pharaoh's magicians were able to replicate the things that Moses and Aaron were doing on behalf of God. Or God was actually the one that was making it happen, but he was making it happen at the hand and command of Moses and Aaron. So, you know, could you imagine that? All of a sudden, here the magicians replicate this particular miracle. Now, I don't know about you, but yeah, I've always been one who's kind of, you know, like magic. I like a good magic show, but there's always a catch or a hook to it in some way. There's some way that it's been prepared for beforehand. That's not the case here. So, yeah, evidently there was a satanic presence to be able to cause this to happen. Now, the ironic part about this is that even as the magicians probably smiled and slapped themselves on the back and said, "Hey, look, we did just what you did," all they did was intensify the punishment that was being brought on Egypt. They brought even more frogs out onto the land. So, a couple of things I want you to see there. Number one, how, other than some satanic way of doing it, did the magicians replicate this particular miracle? And in doing so, they actually made things worse for Egypt and for Israel. That's a key point I want you to think about for just a minute. Remember, Israel had to face all these things as well because they were still living in the land at that particular time. Particularly over the past several weeks, one of the statements that I've mentioned quite a few times is this: when you're following the Lord, there's a lot of times, most of the time, in fact, things will get worse before they're going to get better. So things actually got worse, not only for the Egyptians, but also for the Israelites during the time of God's attention getter to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's magicians were able, to call, more frogs out. You know, that's all they could do. You know, now it's ironic that it potentially was the fact that one of two things happened there. Either Pharaoh told his magicians to go get rid of the frogs, in which case they did not succeed because all they did was brought more frogs. Or what he did was the magicians went down there and said, "You know, stand back. Let me show you what we can do." And then actually, because of their pride, created a worse situation for both Egypt and Israel along the way. The bottom line is there were frogs, and more frogs. It's kind of funny. I had mentioned this before, and one guy said, "Yeah, it's a lot like experts today trying to solve today's problems. It seems like they only make them worse." Okay, people can do many, many things. We can build beautiful buildings. You know, we've even had the scientific technology to split the atom and travel, through space and in spacecraft and discover, miracle drugs that have been able to cure ills from over the centuries, and still our most perplexing problems remain. Have you looked at it? I mean, it seems like when you solve one thing, something else crops up. We're ever learning, but constantly missing the truth. That's a passage that we find the truth in that comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. We're ever learning, but missing the truth. It's kind of like that old expression, sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. And that's exactly what was happening in the case of Pharaoh's magicians at that particular point. Yeah, they may have patted themselves on the back and said, "Look, we did the same thing that you did." But the problem was they didn't solve the problem. They only made the problem worse. Okay? So you would think that this would be a point where Pharaoh's attention would be caught. Okay, so but it didn't. You know, Pharaoh. Well, I think Pharaoh's attention was caught, but he was a procrastinator. I don't know about you, but there were some. There was a time in my life when I was younger and in school that I would be accused by my teachers of procrastinating. You know, we know what that means. That means putting things off for a later date or for a later time. And I want to carry you to verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10. When we take a look at Pharaoh's procrastination, it's really interesting what he says. Verse 10, so let me back you up to verse 9. It says, and Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the rivers only. Now, let me bring you up to speed to exactly what Moses was asking Pharaoh. Moses was asking Pharaoh, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? When do you want them to go away? Remember, frogs jumping all over the place. It was to the point it had gotten Pharaoh's attention. He didn't want to deal with them anymore. And Moses says, when do you want me to get rid of them? That was essentially what he's asking in verse 9. Now, check out verse 10. This is, to me, one of the most intriguing verses in the Bible. Verse 10 says this, and this is Pharaoh's answer to Moses. Verse 10 says, so he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So let me put this in context today. Moses says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh goes to him and says, hey, look, I'm sick of these frogs. I'm ready to see them get gone. Just get rid of them. And Moses says, when do you want me to get rid of them? And Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Why would he say tomorrow? Why would he not say, how about now? I'm sick of these things. You go ahead and get rid of them now. That has always intrigued me, why Pharaoh said, wait till tomorrow. You just get rid of them tomorrow. Wow, don't you find that kind of intriguing yourself? Why didn't he say get rid of them today? You know, one more night with the frogs. So, you know, Moses is called, he prays, you know, even ungodly people know who walks with God. Even ungodly people know who talks with God. And even ungodly people in a time of crisis will go to those folks and have them entreat God on their behalf. Would you pray for me? Would you do this? Would you do that? Pharaoh acknowledges that only the Lord can help, because he essentially went to Moses to ask him to ask God. So he knew at that particular point that only God could have caused it to happen, and only God could be the one to take it away. And then we get that really bizarre answer from Pharaoh, because Moses asked him, when you want him to go away? He says, tomorrow. Strangest reply that I've read in the Bible. One more night with the frogs is, I guess, what Pharaoh wants. You know, and he is like, yeah, let's think about compare and contrast for just a minute. Pharaoh is like all of us who put off coming to Christ. There are people who know that there is a God. There are people who know, it all makes sense, and yet they sit back and say, oh, well, not right now. Sometimes under the auspice of, well, I'm going to finish sowing my wild oats, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, and later, tomorrow, I will give my heart to Jesus. I want to live my life. And I hear this all the time. I don't want to be hypocritical. I'm not ready to give up my old and sinful lifestyle, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'll just wait until later on in life, and then I'll give my heart to Christ. Well, folks, if that's you, here's something that I want you to understand. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the rest of this day. You're not promised your next breath. Okay? So if that's you, and you have been putting off salvation, today is the day of salvation. If that is you, then I'm just going to ask you right now to stop what you're doing, to simply bow your head in prayer as the Holy Spirit convicts you and say, Lord Jesus, today I know that I'm a sinner, and Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, to come into my life, and to save my soul. Help me live for you. I believe what you accomplished on Calvary's cross. And Lord, help me follow you in Jesus' name. Now listen, if you did that, and that was something that you meant with your whole heart, then I can make you this promise. I can make you the promise that the Lord has saved your soul this day. That's not the end of it, though. That's the beginning. It's not that you just check that box. He wants you to follow Him and His Word as one of His children. Okay? Don't want one more night with sin. Don't put it off until later on what God is calling you to do today, because today is the day of salvation. Get it right with Him today. I pray that if you found yourself in that particular situation, that even in these past few moments, that you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That is the absolute most important decision that you will ever, ever, ever make in your whole lifetime. Do not put that off. So let's continue on through our text. When we get down to verses 12 and 13, you know, we see the prayer of Moses. Moses cries out to God, and he was very specific in his prayer. Now, I want to carry you there, verses 12 and 13. It says this. It says, "Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields." Now, he was very specific when he went to the Lord in prayer. He said, "Let me talk to you about these frogs. You know, this is something that you told me to do. This is what's going on. Pharaoh seems to have softened his heart. He says he's going to let the people go. Let's get the frogs out of here." So the Lord did as Moses had prayed and asked. And notice what he said. He was very specific. "Because of the frogs." It's kind of funny when you think about it. Here is puny man calling on Almighty God to do something pretty incredible, and God acts on that. You know, that same holds true today for you and I. You know, we may be small in the grand scheme of life, the population and everything else, but God hears every prayer that comes out of our heart and through our lips and straight into His presence through Jesus Christ. Little old man calls on God, and mighty God acts on our behalf. And here's a great example of exactly that taking place back in those Old Testament days. Now, let me ask you this question. All of us have situations. All of us have problems. Does your problem or problems today seem too difficult to solve? Does it seem like it is just completely out of your hands? There's nothing that can happen, nothing that can take place that would be of any relief to you? You sit there going, "I'm just done. I can't do it." Listen, those are the type of things God specializes in. There's nothing too great for Him. There's nothing too large for Him. There is nothing out of His purview. And there is nothing that He does not have the answer for. God has the answer. And God answers prayer. Now, I want you to take careful notice of what verse 13 says. Because when Moses called on Him, it says, "So the Lord," this is verse 13, "So the Lord did according to the word of Moses." He asked for relief, and the Lord provided that relief. Now, I will say this too. There's the following verse, verse 14, also proves to us that there are some consequences along the way of our sin. Even though the frogs died out, notice what verse 14 said. It says, "They gathered them together in heaps." Verse 13 says, "In the frogs," latter part of verse 13, "and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, out of the fields." And verse 14 says, "They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank." Now, I will say this. You know, I grew up a country boy in southern West Virginia, and there were times that during the summer there'd be frogs. You'd be driving down the road after it rained. You'd see frogs jumping across the road. But those frogs didn't also watch out for traffic, so a lot of them would get run over. But if you'd be walking down the road, and there's frogs that had been crushed by the cars, had been there for a while, that is a unique stench. And that's the only way I can describe it, is the stench. It stinks really, really bad. And that was just like one frog that had been run over. It has the smell of death and decay that is putrid. That was just one frog. I could not imagine what that stench must have been like with frogs that had covered all of the land, that had died up. It said they just had piles of dead, rotting, decaying frogs all over the place. So there was a reminder of their sin. There was a reminder of God God's attention getter in their lives. So God ended that plague. After the frogs departed, something interesting happened. And this just is so indicative of what happens to you and I today. Let me carry you to verse 15. Verse 15 says this. It says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said." So essentially what happened was, in the time of crisis, you know, Pharaoh reached out to Moses, said, "Get all these frogs away from here." Moses was faithful to do that. God, you know, had all the frogs die. Well, then once it was through the crisis, it says, the word says that Pharaoh hardened, his heart was hardened once again. After the problem was over, just like you and I, after the problem is over, when God has shown up, when God has gotten us through that problem, many forget God. It's kind of like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I cried out to him, he helped me out, now I'm just going to put him on the back burner once again." Now, most of us know that. Most of us have been guilty of doing that in our lives at some place and time, some shape, form, or fashion. I've shared this illustration many times. There have been so many times before when we've sat back and said, "Well, Lord, you know, I'll tell you what, if you get me through this situation, I'll never miss church again. You know, Lord, I'll be the Sunday school teacher. I'll do this or I'll do that." Or, you know, promises we know that we, you know, first of all, aren't even able or are capable of keeping. And second of all, we know that we're not going to do that. I think at some point we feel like we're going to give that a try, but we fail miserably at it. I mean, every one of us, I want you to think about it. Think about a time in your life when you were in a crisis that you made God some promise that if he would deliver you from X, Y, and Z, then you would do A, B, and C. Now, how, and you step back, "Well, I did it maybe for about a month, but that's not what, that was one of those things that was supposed to have been for a lifetime." You haven't done it. You haven't kept your word with God. You haven't kept your promise with God. And so what happened is, after the frogs were gone, in this particular case, Pharaoh's heart got hardened again. Yours, your heart and my heart can become the same way. Yeah, they hardened their hearts to his spirit. Have you hardened your heart to the spirit of God? You know, sometimes people sit back and say, "Well, you know, I just don't even seem to hear the spirit anymore." Is it because you've hardened your heart so much that you are incapable of hearing his spirit? Now, I want you to understand something. The spirit is still there. The spirit of God is still speaking. It's not that he's not speaking, it's just that we're not listening. And sometimes we have, I like that term, white noise that fills the room, white noise that fills our hearts, white noise that fills our situations, that tends to crowd out the main focus of the speaker. You know, one of the things that birthdays will bring about is not being able to hear like you used to. And I'm at that particular phase in my life where if I go into some place like a restaurant, and particularly if there is somebody who is soft-spoken, then what happens is I could be sitting right there with them, and if there's a lot of noise in the background, a lot of people talking, a lot of things that are going on, sometimes I can't really even hear what the person that's right there with me is saying because all of the background noise. Folks, how much background noise do we have in our spiritual lives? What is it that's drowning out the Word of God? What are the sins that are besetting us? What are the things that we're holding on to and asking for one more day? You know, "Lord, deliver me." "Well, when do you want me to deliver you?" "Tomorrow." No. Get deliverance today. Sometimes God just needs to take you out of all that white noise and put you in a quiet place where you can hear his still small voice. Be willing to cooperate with that when he does. So after the frogs departed, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Think about that for a moment. Is that you? Are you finding yourself in the position of Pharaoh in our story today? Yeah. Remember how, for a moment, I just want you to remember how God met you in the middle of your crisis. Remember and think about how he delivered you when there was no other hope, when there was no other help. God showed up in a great, big, incredible way and delivered you from the thing that was so easily besetting you, the thing that you thought there was no way to get out of, and God showed up. Think of the joy that you had, the grateful heart that you had in the midst of that time. How are you responding to that today? Listen, you need to respond to his tender pleading without delay. God is calling us back home. He's calling us into his presence. He is calling us to be his children in a manner in which is suitable to him. Just like when we consider Israel at this particular time, they wanted to worship God. They were being held back by Pharaoh. And God said, I've heard their cries. I've heard their prayers. I am going to deliver them. Now, Pharaoh seems to have been a huge problem in this. He's been problematic through this whole thing. And God has to keep showing up and doing things to show and prove who he is. Not only is he doing this to show Pharaoh and Egypt who he is and how powerful he is also doing this to show Israel who he is and how powerful he is as well, and how much he loves them. Now, remember, they had to be there in the middle of this. They had to experience the water turning to blood. You know, Israel experienced that. Israel also experienced all these frogs. Israel is also experiencing the stench. So, folks, I want to tell you, it's not always easy to walk through the path that God wants us to walk through to get us where he wants us to be. But there will, without any shadow of a doubt, be deliverance when we come out on the other side. Where do you find yourself today? Are you stubborn? Are you seeking the Lord? What player are you in this thing? Are you one of the Israelites? Are you one of the Egyptians? Do you find that you are paying for the sins of other people? Are you Pharaoh? Are you finding yourself in a position that is not honoring God, that is turning away from him? Are you in the position of Moses and Aaron, where you are following the Lord, but it just seems like every time you turn around and every time you're obedient to what God has called you to do and asked you to do, there seems to be some other obstacle in the way. I want to encourage you today to keep on walking. As the old expression says, keep your head down and keep plowing forward, because eventually you're going to come up on the other side. Eventually, God is going to deliver you. And when he does, I want you to remember the days that you dealt with the frogs. I want you to remember them because that also helps you to remember how God showed up to deliver you from that situation. I call those spiritual markers. Run those spiritual markers up the flagpole so that when you're in the middle of the frog-infested, stinking place, you can turn back and you can look as a reminder of how God was faithful and how God showed up in your life, and trust him to do it once again. We're going to ask God to give us the grace and the strength by which to be able to do that. But before we close out today, I want to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be studying this week as we prepare to head into our Bible study for next week. This week, what I want you to do is I want you to read the passages of Exodus chapter 8 through Exodus chapter 10. And next week, we're going to continue our look in the book of Exodus, and we're going to talk about compromise from those particular passages in Exodus chapters 8 through 10, where Pharaoh is offering a compromise to Moses, just like sin and death and hell does for you and I today. It's going to offer us compromises. Unfortunately, we have a lot of folks that are going for those compromises, and it's sad, and particularly when it's God's people. Would you pray with me today? Father, I want to come to you now, and I want to thank you for the fact that you were right there in the midst of every circumstance and situation that we have. Lord, when we cry out to you, we need to understand that you will deliver us, but we also, Father, need to understand that not only are you going to deliver us, things may get worse before they get better. Lord, I pray that we don't find that we have a heart like Pharaoh that is so easily hardened, that doesn't regard you, but rather, Lord, we would have the heart of Moses and Aaron to follow you. Lord, sometimes we don't understand why you do the things you do or how you do the things that you do. But Lord, help us most of all to trust the fact that you are going to do what is in the best interest for your children, that you might draw us close to you. So Father, in the midst of the time that we have to put up with the frogs, give us faith and hope and courage that we might not waver against who you are, that we might be stronger and our faith may be stretched and built because of the circumstances that we have to go through to arrive where you want us to arrive. Lord, I pray that you'll give us a great week. I pray that you will just help us to be able to reach out to somebody in your name to provide hope. Lord, to provide just a word of encouragement along, whatever it may be. Lord, help us to look for divine appointments that you have for us for the rest of this week. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, we want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you don't have a church home, I want to personally invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:45 at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you are familiar with that area, we are right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Highway 68 runs right between us, so that gives you an idea of where we are. Otherwise, you can go to our website and you can get more information about us and about our location. And that website is www.oakridgecbc.org. And that's Oak Ridge. It stands for Central Baptist Church, so it's cbc.org. And we would certainly love to have you come worship with us this coming Sunday at 10:45 in spirit and in truth. God bless you, and may you have a great and fantastic week.